Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're very happy with your gracious presence in the pillar of fire somewhere, Lord, heading your church and leading your church into millennium. But first of all, you brought us this out, you brought us the word, and now standing by to raise the dead, to bring immortality to a few people, Lord, as it was in the days of Noah. And we thank you, Lord, that we can count ourselves that way, even we might not be, but we take the stand we are, as the prophet taught us. If there's one person in that town going to make it, we would consider we were that person. If there's several, one of the several, Lord. And this morning we count ourselves part of the elect by belief in your word, Father, by understanding the hour in which you live, the time, the seasons, and those things brought to our attention. Help us again, we pray, in the study of this word that the prophet brought many years ago, Lord, indicting this generation, showing forth exactly what Jezebel religion was, why he was against organization and these things, Lord, that are predominant today. Guide our spirits, especially as we study the word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're up to number 9 in Jezebel religion. And of course we understand so far what Brother Branham is saying concerning the fact of an end time last religion headed up by a conglomeration of churches, the regular syndicate, headed by the Antichrist, who, of course, has been on the scene for many, many years, but finally becomes the resident temple of Satan himself, which is, of course, the Pope. Now, in the last portion, which was a few pages back, about 17 to 19, I think we had gotten into, that portion we studied, Brother Branham compared the confrontation of Elijah on Mount Carmel with the present hour of the church's history. In other words, there had to be a definitive showdown in order that the people might know exactly what obtained at that particular time and why the judgment of God was against it. And the coming of Elijah to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers will be by vindication. And by vindication by one man alone, not an organized church, not a system, not a company, not one of a priesthood, but a vindicated prophet, a one-man prophet, and he vindicated according to Deuteronomy chapter 18. So as there was a vindicated prophet who could tell the hour in which the people lived and tell the conditions under which they lived, truly representing God and giving them the way out. So in this present hour, as Brother Branham compared Jezebel religion to what America has come into in chapter 13 of the book of Revelation, he lets us know that there has to be also a prophet in this end time, in the spirit of Elijah, who will have a confrontation with the church, which is in power and, of course, is in conjunction in union with the empire or the state. Now, in turning the hearts of the children back to the Pentecostal fathers, the children will be manifested according to the second chapter of Acts, and it is in the 38th verse. Now, Brother Branham mentioned turning the hearts of the children, he called them Pentecostal children, back to the Pentecostal fathers. And many people believe that that refers exactly to the day of Pentecost and what happened there historically at that particular time. But Brother Branham categorically said the message at Pentecost would not suffice for this hour. It wouldn't do. There had to be another message. So you must be very careful not to identify yourself with the Pentecostal people. He was not referring to Pentecostal people here. In fact, he does not really denigrate them, but he points out he is not referring to them. He is referring actually to what happened at that particular time. Now, you'll notice in Acts 2 and 38, he said, then Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and to your children, that's Jews, and all that are far off, that's the Gentiles, because according to Ephesians, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, both of Gentiles and Jews. And so that's what you're looking at. Now, we read this quite carefully, and we can read it again. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you and the elect of God will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, we want to ask a couple of questions here. What does it mean to repent, and who will qualify as those who do repent? Now, to answer that question, what does it really mean to repent, we go back to Acts, the second chapter, and we start in the 14th verse where this phenomenon came forth. They were speaking not in tongues, but they were prophesying. And I'm not saying that they didn't speak in tongues on the day of Pentecost, as though they spoke languages they never learned. I'm talking about what happened when they went down below in the streets, and the people were speaking and said, "Are not all these Galileans that are speaking?" Now, how did they know they were Galileans? Because of their particular accent, the same as you can go to Tennessee, and you'll find people from Tennessee simply don't talk like me. I came out of Canada. Even you in Ohio say bushes, and I say bushes. You say fishes, and I say fishes. So these people were Galileans. They could tell, as at the crucifixion said, "Thy tongue betrayeth thee from where you're coming from." Just like the story My Fair Lady is written on Pygmalion. Very interesting. Well, anyway, these people were speaking their own language, Galilean, and by the Holy Ghost, the words were twisted, and they heard them in their own tongues. So, therefore, it was distinctly prophecy, is what you are looking at and understanding. Now, some of the people began to scoff and to laugh, and they were just filled with amazement, filled with doubts, and everything was going on but an understanding of the truth. And as is always true, when God does something through a prophet or something which is by means of vindication or to attract attention, the person seeing it and hearing it really doesn't have a clue. He's merely a spectator. So God then must use the person or persons in order to tell them what is going on. You understand? Like Brother Branham came on the scene, and we saw many things, and he said, "This is my vindication. It's thus saith the Lord." This is Deuteronomy 18. Then he did many wonderful things, and he told us things, and then he had to explain it. Well, that never fails. That's the way God does things. So you notice here, Peter, pardon me, was a spokesman. And he said, "You men of Judea..." Now, they were in Judea, notice, in Jerusalem, not Galilee. "And all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, but seeing it's the third hour of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that spoken by the prophet Joel. It'll come to pass in the last day, saith God, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I'll pour them those days in my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I shall wonder in the heavens above, and signs earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor, smoke, and the sun be turned into darkness, moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it will come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by wicked hands and crucified and slain, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible he should be holden of it." Now, right in here, before I read further, I want you to notice what Peter is doing. He is actually confronting these people over the manifestation of what happened at that particular time, which was a sign to them that they had missed the boat somewhere. And he's telling them what he's telling them, and he starts with the day of Pentecost and takes it right to the Great Tribulation. And he said, now, ending up here in 38, what will we do? He said, this is what is to happen through all the ages, until the Holy Spirit, which is temporary, gives out before the Great Tribulation, except for the 144,000 at the time Israel is sealed. Because remember, the church goes through a purging, Israel goes through a purging, and the earth goes through a purging. Now, he is telling these people, listen, I'm telling you something, and you don't have a clue to what I'm telling you. You have been thoroughly indoctrinated by the rabbis. You don't understand what has taken place. Now you repent. The word repent means change your mind. Well, what am I going to change my mind to? This. Understand what we're talking about. When Peter said repent, it meant leaving everything you have been formerly taught that is inconsistent with this which is now brought to your attention. Because the word repent means change your mind. So, all right, he is telling these people wherein their minds must be changed. He said, this which you see here was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he said, it's going to continue right up into to the great tribulation. Now, he goes on, he said, you men of Israel, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know. Now he's going to pin their ears back. Because Jesus was completely identified on the grounds of the ministry that Moses said, there's going to be a prophet come like unto me, and the prophet you listen to, the prophet you fear, the prophet that brings condemnation if you don't listen, cursing every man upon the face of the earth, he said, that man will tell you things in the name of the Lord, they'll come to pass, you fear him. Now they knew that. But they hadn't changed their minds when the event came that signaled repentance. You follow me? Now he said here, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands are crucified and slain, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death because it was not possible he should be holden of it. Now he's telling them right there, hey, this one that you killed is behind this. Now God knew you would kill him. It was foreknown and predestinated concerning his death, but I want to tell you something. God has raised him. Well, just a minute. If you think you're going to believe that, you have another thought coming. It blew their minds. Now, are these people prepared to change their minds? Come on, how many? Well, let's keep reading. For David speaketh concerning him. Now watch how he takes him right back to the word. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Now somebody's talking about somebody. Two people linked together. And here's where you begin to see Godhead, not oneness, not two-ness, not three-ness, but God who is the Father who had a Son. Now Brother Branham said, we're not oneness. We're not three-ness. Well, what was he? One and a half? One and three quarters? Well, you can see how stupid it is. He had a son. This day have I begotten thee, that which formed from God, he said, as a light around the Father's throne, in whom God was creating all things and maintaining all things, in who he left aside that glory, a body of glory, and came down here and took upon a human form, and our God, Jehovah, Lord God, Elohim, came and indwelt him, and stayed in him until the Garden of Eden, then left him. That was his son, my beloved son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Sorry, now, you think you're going to take that? Well, come on. Let's just settle right down, hunker down, as Brother Branham said, and just relax. Repent. Can you change your mind, he said. You repent. In order to get the Holy Ghost. In order to qualify. In order to be one of the elect. To show that you are an elect child of God. Can you change your mind? Because remember, repentance is a change of mind. Godly sorrow worketh repentance, but godly sorrow is not repentance. My saw worketh a piece of lumber in two. But my saw is not the piece of lumber in two. It cut the material in two. So godly sorrow is not repentance. Repentance is a change of the mind. That's right. Remember, your soul and your mind go together. And your gene is a soul your soul is a gene from God. Within the soul is that gene. All right, now listen. That I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Now who's saying this? Jesus is saying this. And he's talking about the Father who did it for him. Because remember, God raises the dead. Jesus didn't raise himself. Because I'll not leave my soul in hell, neither suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou hast made me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and in his sepulchre unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loin, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on the throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, which was proven by the very fact that Israel knew, especially Jerusalem, and all the environment knew that Jesus had performed a literal resurrection on Lazarus. Lazarus wasn't raised from the dead. Don't ever have that idea in your heads. He was resurrected. Edmund Wade, sitting beside me, fell over dead. He was raised from the dead. He was not resurrected. A woman in Connecticut, Hartford, to my right, fell over dead. Her spirit was going out of the door when William Branham says, "Mary, come back." And she came back. Wasn't sick another day till the day God took her. She was not resurrected. She was raised from the dead. Lazarus was not simply raised from the dead. He was resurrected. Just the same as Brother Branham was told by God, "This day you'll see a resurrection." Why was it a resurrection? Because the entrails of that little fish had been entirely pulled out. That's not a raising from the dead. Or I've missed the boat in understanding what the Bible's all about. Yeah, I can't even understand simple terminology. So, all right. He says here now, he said, "Having therefore been a prophet, knowing that God had forsworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he'd raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his soul see corruption. Now, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we're all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted." Now, who's on the right hand of what? See? "Therefore, being on the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promised Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into the heavens." It wasn't David. That's a poor translation here in the King James. "For it was not David who ascended into the heavens, but he himself said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand." And that's where Jesus had this whole bunch of Peter's preaching to, 30 confused, when they asked the question, he said, "I'll ask you a question." He said, "What is this talking back over here?" He said, "When David in spirit calls him Lord, and yet he's the son of David." That's a tricky one. How does a king call his like a prince son the king when the king's the king? How are you going to make him like a father, a progenitor? How are you going to make him the root and offspring of David at the same time? If he's the root of David, then David comes out of him. If he's the offspring, then he comes out of David. Figure that out. It's not hard. Just believe the virgin birth. You know what God did. It's no big deal. But you see what I'm dealing with? It's repentance. It's changing the mind. That's why you can't get people to understand the presence. "Oh, he's always been here." Not like he's there. Brother Branham said, "Moses, Paul, William Branham. Don't talk to me and be foolish. I'm getting too old and too cranky. Not nice to be around anymore." All right, listen. "For David and hath not ascended. Sit in my right hand till I make that foes thy footstool." And that's going on right now. 1 Corinthians 15, you cannot get away. The Lord descended with a shout, put the church in order. God himself is getting it all ready to put it under the feet of his son. And take it back after the wait, sometime during the New Jerusalem era. Now, let's keep going. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." In other words, God says, worship this person. Now, that doesn't make him his own father. Brother Brown has said, anything that worship is God. You can take a piano and make a God out of it. You can take a car and make a God out of it. You can worship a book. You can worship a woman. Or you can worship a man. You just make a God out of it. You give them the preeminence. You give them all your time. You make them supreme in your life. But when you talk about God being God, we're talking about Elohim, the one in the beginning, who had no beginning. Sons have beginnings. I don't care if he's the essentiality of God. Like I told you before, I get a piece of marble, 500 million years old. Now, the piece of marble in that statuary is 500 million years old, but the statuary is only as old as it is when I made it. So, come on. Listen, you let your mind go. Let your mind repent, let your mind go. Brother Branham taught us how to do it. He kept saying, let your mind go, let your thinking go. You ain't got a thing coming. This is the mind age. I'm the eye part. I've seen it for you. I'm telling you. Now listen, you believe it. I have seen, now I believe. Now that's what Peter's doing here. See? Now, let's keep on moving along here. Let the house of Israel know surely. Okay, now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what do we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise unto you, and so on right on down the line. And they that gladly received his word were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and consequently, they were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now notice, they received that word. Now you can't have two words at one time in your mind. Can't put a new patch on an old garment. That's what's wrong with this message. Too many Pentecostals. But I'm telling you, I learned way before Brother Branham died that he was speaking a language I never understood, because he interpreted everything he said in my own vernacular and my own theological studies, which were completely hogwashing of the devil. That's why one little point alone took 4.5 hours to clean up. Couldn't believe what I was hearing. But I finally said, are you trying to tell me? He said, no, you got it. I said, hold it just there. My mind was... Talk about repenting. It was a, like, thank God I could open a steam valve before the boiler and everything went up and the whole factory went with it. Repentance is a change of mind. Now, notice 22 and 24 particularly. You men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, man proved to God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did minister to you, as you yourself also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by wicked hands and crucified and slain, whom God has raised up, having loosed from the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should behold another. Now listen, I want to just take you to chapter 3 of Revelation. And you think I'm going to make some big comment from it. I'm not. I'm just going to tell you this. This Laodicean church age, in the face of a vindicated prophet, could no more take the message to Laodicea, written by the scribe John, verses 14 to 21, than could these people back there, except for very, very few. Now listen. These things set the amen to the church which is in Laodicea, the faithful true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, God beginning to form himself in the human flesh, and ending in this last day doing it. I know thy works, they're neither cold nor hot, or would you're cold or hot, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Because thou sayest I'm rich, increased with goods, and needed nothing, and knowest not the wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now, you, listen, that shocks you. Are you going to sit here this morning and tell me you could take that without having given something by God to let you take it? Now, some of you are Catholics. Thank God you are. You never had any background at all. But you're looking at a pretty rich Pentecostal up here. I had gifts of the Spirit, and I could prove it. No problem. I got witness of living today all over the country, even in Europe. I knew that I wouldn't qualify myself as saying I have need of nothing. I knew I had plenty. But I believed that what I had was as correct as could possibly be, and there wasn't any need for anything else except a going on and a perfection with what I had, a sort of weeding out, a sort of adding to, a sort of better frame, a sort of better doing. But for me to say, hey, I'm wretched, miserable, naked, blind. I felt like it many times. But to face the issue, these Jews couldn't either. Only to them that God had granted the change of mind or repentance were the ones who could repent. And only today the people that have been granted repentance by God on the grounds of what they were and are before the foundation of the world in Christ who was in God and God in Christ, only those people can repent. You understand what I'm saying? All right. To repent then is what we're looking at. And William Branham is bringing the same message from Pentecost, which is repent. Change your mind. Clean out the flues is what he said. He told us to pile word upon word until that, what you'd call it, that the cathartic effect of the Word of God would push out what was in us until itself could flourish. And that starts with the mind, because the mind is the highest point of your body. And he said we are now in the mind age. Now listen, if we were in the mind age today, then it was in the mind age to begin with, because the cornerstone is identical to the capstone, because it's the same stone in a different place. Now, if you think I'm wrong, let's just turn back to Revelation chapter 3 once more, and let's prove it. I counsel you to buy me gold tried in the fire. Oh, I got lots of gold. You may be rich. I am rich. A white garment. Oh, hey, I got it. I'm not naked. I have no shame. I'm not committing fornication with the creeds and the dogmas and the things of the world. And I said, oh, I got the eye salve. Don't tell me about it. Now listen, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be therefore zealous, and the zeal is to repent. Every service, every sermon of Brother Branham's was keyed to pray up. I'll use the word pray, play, I don't care. Upon our minds until the full effect of a vindicated word smashed and destroyed and pulverized and blew away our own thinking.
Amen.
Oh, I know the world doesn't like it, but they want to give you a mindset. I speak of giving people a mindset from the prophet. Oh, they don't like it, but well, they'll be glad to come and give you a mindset. See, I'm not a nice guy, and I'm not going to be a nice guy. I can lock my jaw the same as they can lock their jaws. I can stand my ground. I believe I can by the grace of God. I want my mind completely obliterated when it comes from the old creeds and dogmas, the incrustation of what Paul the Apostle called manure. And it takes quite a bit of it. I could tell you a pretty gruesome story right now to describe a colonic. If you ever had one, you ought to get one. You ought to see it comes out of your stomach. And they'll tell by the very color whether it's just old food in there, whether you've been on drugs or not. I know what I'm talking about. I go through all these things all the time. My life is rich with experiences. I can take almost everything and show you by nature and roundabout what's going on. And if anybody needed a colonic of the mind, this generation needs it, because it's full of the incrustation of what Paul said, which is fecal matter, which is Satan's Eden, which is human reasoning, which is under Satan, because the Bible puts it there in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, bringing every high thing, what is it, Kindertide, bringing every high thing, and that's the mind under control to obedience to Jesus Christ. Now, the first stage started with the change of mind, and the last stage ends with the change of mind. You understand? Okay, now then, we'll go to 25 and 31. And I don't have to read too much. What I'm telling you here in 25 to 31 is what Brother Branham did. Peter takes them to the Bible. He said, you claim that you're Christians. He said, well, not a Jew. Absolutely. The word Messiah is the same as Christos. Christians, Christian, Messianic believers, makes no difference. It's all the same thing. One Hebrew, one Greek. Now, Peter said, you claim you believe in Messiah. You're Christians. Because there were Greeks there. You claim you are. Already said, let's go to the Bible and find out if you are really Christians. If you're really anointed. Jesus said, a bunch of you people don't have any place for the word. That's why you haven't got it. Like he said, the serpent had a place for the soul, but he had no soul. Now here's the people who got no place with the word, for the word, and they got a soul. What kind of soul have they got? Hybrid. Come on. You got a soul from God, a gene from God, he'll pile word upon word.
So he said right here to these people, and I said, look, I'm going to take you to the scripture and show you this. And this is under vindication because Christ rose to prove it. As Brother Branham said, Christ among us, proving he's risen from the dead, doing the same things he did back there when he was in his flesh. And he took us to Matthew 4, and also we take you to Matthew chapter 12. All right, he gave us a scriptural proof. And in 32 to 36, he said, Christ is risen amongst us. Now, I'm changing that a little bit because he didn't say that. I'm referring to this hour. He said, Christ is risen and on the throne and shed forth the Holy Ghost. And he came back at that time dividing himself as the baptizer. But when he came to Paul, he did not divide himself. He came back, as Brother Branham said, just think, the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here now, not dividing himself, not giving life to individuals, sprinkling that seed, but now bringing the word of immortality. Individual. So Peter says, here now I want to tell you, he's risen amongst the dead. And we say we have the actual proof of it. He is here. And as Brother Branham said, he's risen amongst us from the dead. And he took us over to Matthew 4, but I always read Matthew 12 because there's much more to it. The explanation is perfect. I read it many times, but here it is for you who perhaps not heard me say it. It's in verse 16. He charged them that they should not make him known after he'd done all these miracles, that it might be fulfilled, spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant who I have chosen, my beloved, whom my soul is well pleased. I'll put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment of the Gentiles. Now listen, he said, I put my spirit upon him, and this one upon whom my spirit is, he will show judgment to the Gentiles. Now watch what happens with the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. That's not Israel, because he strove, he cried, he was in the streets. You understand what I'm saying? That's not to Israel. That's to us. Now notice again. A bruised reed shall he not break. The smoking flax he shall not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. To Israel he quenched the flax. He broke their reed. It's finished. I mean, how many temples they build? Moses' law is finished. The law and the prophets are finished. Because Christ has become the end of the law and the prophets to the believer. And you get nowhere without believing. Now, he did not break the Gentiles. No, sir. No, no, no. Church history goes right on. From the time of Paul, when the platform was built for the Gentile church, to the very end time, he deals with them and deals with them until finally he hurls them to victory, which means, bless God, some will not die but be taken into rapture. That doesn't happen to Israel. You got your parallels wrong if you think it does. Check what the prophet said on it. Now, he says here, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. There's going to be a name specifically and categorically given to the Gentiles when this one comes forth and does this. Well, see, that's been done all through the ages. Has it been? The ministry of Christ repeated? You've got to be kidding. The ministry of Christ only repeated in this hour. The historians know it. Now, they're lying about it. I read their books. Anybody can lie. But they'll pay for it. Now, listen. Thus the repenters are of Hebrews 6. In the 6th chapter of Hebrews, Paul said we want to go to perfection, but we can't do it unless God allows it, and God didn't allow it. Now watch, he tells you where perfection comes. Verse 4. For it's impossible for those who were once for all enlightened. Now there's no more message, no more nothing going forth. It's the end time. Have tasted the heavenly gift, partake the Holy Ghost, taste the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come. Pentecost always yelling about that. They didn't know it came through William Branham. Didn't know Christ was risen amongst us in the form of the Holy Ghost. No, they're blind to it. They're categorically blind. Now listen, having fallen away, they can never be renewed to repentance and crucify themselves the Son of God afresh. Now in the days of Jesus on earth, they crucified him. because they would not repent in spite of the fact they saw everything Hebrews 6 said is coming to us. And when we turn him down, we crucify to ourselves the Son of God afresh. Because we do not let our thinking go. You see what I'm driving at here? Repent and be baptized. That's what Brother Branham meant, go back to Pentecost. Not jumping and squeaking and shouting and interrupting services and think you got something because you can scream. Anybody can scream. That's merely, listen, that can be simply therapeutic. I don't buy that. No, I'm Pentecost got out of me years ago, thank God. Now, as I mentioned already, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice, open the door, I'll come to him and sup with him and him with me. On what grounds? You have a zeal to repent. Your zeal is to pile word upon word upon word upon word wherein the Holy Ghost is until you're entirely filled with the Holy Ghost and immortality sets in. Could never happen outside of this hour. People try to listen. They can't get away with what they try. It's what God said. Now then, the next question is, who qualifies? Who qualifies as the true repentant one? Those that are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who. Now I want to stop here and just talk a bit. Nobody has been baptized into true Christian baptism except recently under the prophet William Branham. All have taken the Roman Catholic idolatrous baptism of the Trinity except for a few people who saw something. Then they got a false doctrine of Jesus only. All right, what am I trying to tell you? Luther protested the Catholic Church. He said the just live by faith. They don't come any other way. Wesley protested the Lutherans. The Pentecostals protested the Wesleyans. And they said there's a baptism with the Holy Ghost erroneously believed. There was a restoration of gifts. Now then, what I'm saying is this. There are no longer any denominational Protestants. Now you think, oh, Brother Bill, the Presbyterians are Protestants. Oh, no, they're not. They're not protesting. They're not protesting the what Brother Branham said. Brother Branham said, the great issue of this hour is there is one God. And you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're not in it. That's the issue. Vindicated. How many are protesting it? How many are standing up against it? Ha! 8 souls, the days of Noah. There are no longer any Protestants. They are not protesting Trinitarian baptism. Roman Catholic Church issued a statement categorically said, you Protestants, you know very well, we invented Father, Son, and Holy Ghost baptism. And every one of you are now ours because you're baptized into the Trinity, into the titles. And the Protestants did that. Well, you know, hallelujah, it doesn't really matter because if we get Jesus, you know, everything good. Was that Brother Branham taking us back to Pentecost? You Pentecost, you were sitting here this morning. I'm going to scorch your hide if you're a Pentecost. Not that I want to hurt you. I want to help you. I'm not hating Pentecostals. I'm a Brother Brown said they're the cream of the crop, but I want to tell you the cream can go sour too. Get pretty raunchy. I tell you, I don't think there's anything worse than rotten cream when it hits your liver. And I think that's what happened to God. That's why he's vomiting. The cream of the crop, something happened. Brother Branham said they were chaff. The chaff gets blown away. They won't stand the judgment. Now listen, all are Catholics, whether they know it or not, and are now in a one-world system of Trinitarian dogma, of an idolatrous attitude toward God. The only true Pentecostal Protestants are those who follow the prophet Elijah. We protest the baptism in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And we protest the oneness because it is not Jesus only, for the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Father, and Jesus is not his own Father any more than the Catholic idea of the Son is the husband of the mother. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, settles it. What more do you want? Well, Brother Bill, I don't understand the going back and forth. Do you have to? How many understand all about these lights? I guarantee that outside of a few guys like Mel, especially Brother Russell here, there's not many understand too much about these lights. I don't know the first thing about them. I get shocked plumb out of my skull the way Dave almost got killed up there by kids fooling around with tacks and things. He got grounded except for Chrissy would have died. I'd be in the same boat. I can turn the light on. I don't give two bits of rip or care how it's done. Just turn the light on. What does it matter? The prophet told us. He told us the truth. Vindicated. What more do you want? It works. He proved it. Immortality is at hand. All right, listen. Thus we are turned back as Pentecostal children to Pentecost. Well, didn't he say it? You crucified his son. His son is by the right hand exalted. The Holy Ghost has come forth. He's risen amongst us doing these things. Repent. Get it all out of your noggins. Get it out of your brains, out of your head. Now, you get baptized for repentance. Absolutely. Now you're going on to sanctification and get the Holy Ghost. So return back. So far, so good. With this, Brother Branham also said that the history of the church is in the book of Acts. What does he mean by that? Well, I suppose he could have simply meant take the book of Acts, and that's the way the church is supposed to be, as somebody said. There's no amen at the end of it. Well, there's no amen to some of the other epistles, too. I won't belabor the fact. I just let it ride. So, all right. My understanding is a lot different because Brother Branham was a deeper, much deeper man than people thought he was. Oh, he was just a Kentucky hillbilly. He didn't know seventh grade education. But he came back one day and he said, I knew it was in the books. He had smacked those bunch of queer birds down, and I laughed. I was hilarious. I thought he really, you know, he wiped the smile off your face, but they were too stupid to quit grinning. In other words, come on, challenge me. Come on, challenge me. You think you know? I'm the guy that does know. Come on, hit a seventh grader and find out. They tried that in Chicago, but they wouldn't come forward. He said, you're smarter than I thought you were. Amen. Oh, he sizzled their hide. They didn't know it. First one to come forward when carried up feet first. Sure, Brother Branham was no pushover. God's no pushover. We're not half sober and serious enough about him. That's the whole trouble. I admit it, absolutely admit it. Now listen. He said the history of the church was there. Let's go back to the book of Acts again, and I'll try to do this quite quickly because I know I'm not going to get too far into the message and get it finished. I'd like to get up to page 21 or 2 where it ends, but I can't do it. Now look what he says here. Now he said, this is that spoken by the prophet Joel, verse 17 of chapter 2. Thus saith God, in the last days I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. Now he said, the last days, and what he's talking about here right now, Israel turned down their first days, right? So now he's going to point him to the last days. And he points him right to the time of the false anointed ones. Your sons, your daughters, my sons, my daughters. All anointed with the same Holy Spirit. So that at the end time they'll produce fruit without the baptism. They'll produce gifts without the baptism. And when that happens, having turned down the Word, which they'll have to turn down, and crucify the Son of God afresh, then positively the great tribulation sets in. Look what it says. And I will show. Now he says here, your sons and your daughters prophesy, and your young men see visions and dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I'll pour my spirit out. They'll do the same thing, just like Judas. Judas did the same thing as the rest of them did. He was anointed. All right. Now, and he says here, they'll prophesy. They're just like Balaam. The days of Balaam come back. The days of Cain come back. They all come back at the end time. Okay. And I'll show wonders in the heavens and signs of earth beneath and blood and fire, smoke, the sun turned to dark, moon to blood before the great and day of the Lord come. He's talking to Israel. And he said, it'll come to pass from this time to that time, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But what if you're calling upon titles? Amen. What is the name of God? The Word revealed is the name of God. You can't separate Logos from Rhema. Amen. And a proper understanding of Rhema by Logos with the prophet bringing it to us. Can't do it. Oh, you hear people running around the country, they try to separate them. Brother Branham didn't. Come on, I challenge you. And my strong concordance, I'll give anybody $50,000. I can't write a check for it. I'd bore some. Quite a bit. Right in there, you show me that Rhema and Logos aren't interchangeable. It's right there in strong concordance. You want to make $50,000? Come on. You won't make it because I know what I'm talking about. You might not know, but I know. The Hebrews never disassociated Rhema from Logos. Neither did William Branham. When he said, this world will be one judged by one Christ Jesus. And he said, who is Christ? He's the Word. Not just saying Logos for manifestation. No, because I'm going to tell you, at that throne, the books, B-O-O-K-S, are opened. No, listen, brother, sister. We don't have time for child's play. Yet this is so simple that one would just take it. All right, listen. We sign here from verses 14 to 21. Now, this is identical to what Jesus said over here in Matthew, the 7th chapter. He said, many will, he said, now, speaking of the tree, which is bearing fruit, which is the Word, because he's talking about false prophets. And he said, beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep clothes, inwardly ravening wolves. In other words, the exterior is 100% Christian, and the interior is 100% devil. And that same bunch are going to come and say, Lord, did we not cast out devils? Say, absolutely, you cast out devils. Well, didn't we speak in tongues? Oh, yes, yes. We prophesied? Yes, yes, yes. He said, absolutely, because Peter said the same thing on the day of Pentecost that I'm saying right now and manifested it. Ananias the fire started it all off. The first thing you do when you don't believe the word, you lie. Satan wouldn't believe the word, so the serpent lied. Ananias the fire said, oh, yeah, we sold it for so-and-so. They believed, but they didn't believe the word. They thought it was a kind of a skin game, and they thought they could milk some of the stuff off the top. Say, we threw in our $100, all of it, and now we're here for the rest of our lives to get from you guys. Peter said, we don't have skin games here, son, it's shell games. You lie. The first thing you're off the word, you lie. I don't care anybody sitting here. I can prove you by scripture after scripture. Paul the Apostle for our day said the same thing, and lying out one to another. When you get off the word, you'll start lying. The next thing you'll do, on you'll get involved with money and women. This usually lies, illicit sexual intercourse, and then sheer crookedness. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not 76 years old for nothing, so I've been preaching for 50-some years and didn't get anything out of it or put something into it. Don't sell it short, brother, sister. I believe the prophet. I'll be reading word for word pretty soon. They'll say, Lord, Lord, have you not cast out devils? I never knew you. Well, then let's go through the books. Well, here's the books. See, you don't fool with God. See? All right. So that we are being turned back. This is the history now of the church. How it starts and how it ends. Now then, there's another sermon in the book of Acts. From Pentecost, maybe the second day after the third day, Peter's preaching in Acts the 3rd chapter. And notice what he's saying here. This is to the bride. He starts in verse 12, and Peter saw the people wondering at the great miracle, and he said, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob hath glorified his son Jesus Christ that you crucified under Pontius Pilate. When he wanted to let him go, you denied the just one and granted a murder life. Now that he killed the Prince of Peace, God raised the dead, and were his witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by Jesus hath given this man this perfect soundness of presence to all. And now, brethren, I know you're ignorant. So I'm going to tell you how to get by what you did. Because you were ignorant, there's a sacrifice for it, and this is the sacrifice. Which means, when you come to truth, and you're willing to listen, it doesn't matter what you've done, you're free. That's what people don't understand. They say, well, this man here, he was married and divorced, and now he wants to preach. Well, who says he can't preach? If he believes the message, he'd come to the Word. Who are we to judge when the prophet said different? Oh, no, they want their ideas. Oh, I'm a legalist. Yes, yes, I'm better than Brother Branham. Are you better than Brother Branham? Come up here and show me a sign. Come on. I was with him, saw hundreds and hundreds of signs. Hundreds of times that thing, thus saith the Lord. Traveled with him. Not your thinking. It's what the prophet said. Oh, everybody wants his own little 2 bits. Well, take your 2 bits. Ananias, Sapphira. You bought in. It's going to cost you your life to buy in. They'll pickle you, Brian. And you won't rise in the first generation. I'm preaching tough, but I mean it. I was around them, and I was with that man. When the pillar fire rolled in the wall, I never saw the pillar fire. I don't have to see any pillar fire. I saw the man that had it. Who needs to see a pillar of fire? Oh, I'm some great guy, saw light. Fap. Might have been the northern lights or something. You know, don't listen. Listen, you don't have time, brother, sister, to make mockery of thus saith the Lord in God's presence and what he did. And add some little two bits. How about washing his feet? Huh? That's something like it. How about understanding of the blood in it and the broken body through communion? How about just settling back in this hour and letting him take your thinking over? I'm not talking about an act of faith. Now, bless God, where your mind's over and you can just do wonderfully. I'm just letting him do the wonderful thing for you. That's all I'm talking about. Let your mind go and let his thinking come in. He said these things. They're in the Bible. He can't talk outside of that Bible except to say, California's going to fall in the ocean. He's got to be word by word or he is not that prophet. He can't go by one word and take another. Not William Branham, not any prophet, because God is one and his word is one. So 1,000 prophets bring it to us. See, all right. He says, here now. I know you're ignorant, but I'm going to show you something. But those things which God before showed by the mouth is all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he's so fulfilled. Repent you therefore and be converted. Now let's repent and be converted. Repent and be full of the Holy Ghost, that your sins may be blotted out. Now, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, even he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, appointed to you, foreordained. Now he said he's up there in heaven, and the heaven's got to retain him till the restitution of all things. That means restoration, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now somebody said, oh, that's got to be great deeds, great this. Oh, don't you understand? Listen to me. All things are made by the word, and all things are maintained by the word. So therefore, if you want anything, you've got to go to the word. And if you're off the word, you're finished. Your promise is void. There's nothing going to work for you. So the restoration is the word. And that man vindicated with thus saith the Lord said so. Opening the seven seals, and they're open, by the way. The only part of the seven seals now open is the actual personal presence of Jesus Christ in the flesh, whom we'll meet in the air. But the rest is open. The other two phases are open. So anybody kid you. Revelation 10:1-7 is the seventh seal for you and me. The rest doesn't matter. But if you think you're going to leave that and pussyfoot over here and find something out, you have cut your throats. I'm trying to be nice, but why should I try to be nice? I'm talking to Lee Vale too. You think I preach this hard for you? I preach hard for me and sweat for me. I got my problems. Don't worry. I'm not William Branham. I don't want to be William Branham either. He can have it. I want to have the word from William Branham and what he knew about it. And to what God wants me to have. Now listen, the heavens must retain him until there's a restoration of all things. With God has spoken by all the mouth of all the holy, by the mouth of all the prophets, the word began. Now he said, for Moses truly said, you the prophet, the Lord your God, shall raise up in you of your brethren like to me. Him you'll hear in all things whatsoever shall send you. And it'll come to pass that every soul that does not hear that prophet shall be destroyed among the people. Now I want you to notice something here. When Jesus Christ was upon earth, he said, every single sin, he said, is forgiven. He said, but blaspheming the Holy Ghost. So, and therefore, he did not cut off everybody. But during the process of time, everybody is going to be cut off, except understand at the end time, there is a final cutting off, and that's what this is referring to. At the same time the word is restored, there is an irrevocable cutting off. It's over. That's why the seven seals have to be opened and the thunders revealed, or it is not the end time. Because the gospel runs its course in Revelation 10:7. And the days of the voice of that prophet, when he shall begin to sound, the mysteries of God shall be finished. That is all the mysteries of as God has preached the good news by the servants, the prophets. So the gospel completely winds up. And remember, the book of Revelation is written to the seven church ages, which are Gentiles. So it winds up at this particular time. Now, let's keep reading. and it shall come to pass. No. Yea, and all the, now watch, all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. So, all right. Now watch carefully. You've got Moses prophesying Jesus Christ as that prophet which is the Messiah. Now you've got Peter mentioning Moses. But watch, he drops Moses and goes right to Samuel. Why? Samuel didn't give any word. He was the prophet who stood there and preached what was given. William Branham did not bring the word. It was Paul who brought the word. So therefore, William Branham was identical again to Samuel. And he kept quoting Samuel. Have I ever told you a lie? Have I ever taken your money? Ever taken your women? He stood just with Samuel. Every single time William Branham stood with Samuel. Because he was not Paul. But if Samuel was vindicated to be the judge, having the full strength of God through the given word, God inspired him to stand there. So God inspired William Branham to stand 100% with the Apostle Paul until the vision beyond the curtains of time. He said, I preach what Paul preached. And they said, we're resting on that. Vindicated, brother, sister. See how your word comes out. Now it's in this time that those who don't believe, everyone are cut off. That's got to be the truth. The foolish virgin died. The world is consumed by fire. We're standing before the white throne. Who do you think the brother Branham said that was? He said that was the Ancient of Days. Put it right back on Jesus Christ. The whole thing. We're standing in His presence. We know these things. Now, listen. Ye are the children of the prophets. That tells you something right there. Who in the world had their minds turned? Who in the world repented? Who in the world were the ones that absolutely got baptized in water? And the correct way. They were the ones who believed the prophets. In other words, they were the same word. Jesus was a great prophet. He had many prophets living his life in parts, giving the word in parts. But everyone that believed the word was a son and a daughter of the prophet. And everybody believes daddy and mummy. Especially daddy, he's the head. Well, he said, you're not my children, Jesus said. You're your father, the devil. Why, he said, if you were God's children, you ain't Abraham and Moses, you'd know me. You mean to tell me a child that God would not know William Branham? Oh, you've got to be kidding. I can turn a sparrow that's born in a house, raised under a chicken. Turn her loose. You think it's going to go and run to the robins and mate with a robin? Oh, you got to be sick. The bird distinctly, the Bible distinctly said, the fowl of the air know the path that's up there. The oxen knows his master's crib, and my people don't know me. I'm going to tell you one thing. The children of God know him. The elect children of God do. Don't you ever make a mistake about that. See? All right. You notice here then in verses 22 to 24 that I read, Moses truly said, the Lord your God raised up a prophet and so-and-so. And like in that, and starting with Moses, all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many spoken, have likewise foretold these days. Now you notice Moses himself foretold it, but Samuel was the one that began pointing. In other words, he pointed back and reconciled the word to the present hour. So it is with William Branham. Given his gift of discernment, a prophet sent from God, he could look back and point the people to the present hour, as he said, the Holy Spirit given to the church, which was the presence of God himself, would come into the church to make the church know the hour in which it was living and show them the deep revealed secrets of Almighty God. Just what the Bible tells us here. Now, in Acts 2, 22 to 24, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man of God approved among you. He begins telling them what transpired. This tells you here. Samuel looks back, tells them what's transpired. Tells them what's going on. Peter looks back, tells them what transpired. Tells them what's going on. You've got the same thing today. You see, that's why Brother Branham was so horrified by people not understanding. He said, look, Alpha is Omega. The Bible goes in cycles. I'm using my words now. of what Brother Branham taught us. It's in the Bible. It's there. Can't you understand what I'm telling you? Well, that's what Jesus said. He said, red sky in the morning, sailor's warning. Red sky at night, sailor's alert. You know, you say the sky's red in the night. He said, it's a nice day tomorrow. It's a red sky in the morning. He said, it's going to be foul weather. He said, oh, you fools and hypocrites. You stand there with your scientific Satan-heating mind. And boy, have you got it down pat. When it comes to understanding this, you're a billion miles off because you won't listen. You won't let your thinking go. If you let your thinking go, you'll be hated just like me, but join the club. I don't mind the dome. If I wasn't hated, I'd be a very sorry person. I'd begin to wonder what I was doing so good. I hate do-gooders. I can't stand do-gooders. You know why? Because the do-gooders have only one thing in mind, to make a show in your flesh. You think Kennedy goes with his millions of dollars in booze money? He levies taxes upon you and me. So he gets some poor folk, white, black, red, green, doesn't matter what they are. And old great Kennedy. And all the time he's milking your pocket and mine. Don't ever believe in the do-gooder. A do-gooder is the rottenest thing under God's high heaven. Don't listen to the philanthropists. There's no such thing. My books are the scum of the earth. They want to make a show in your flesh. You look to Jesus Christ, and you'll see what real philanthropy is. You'll see what real doing good is. These guys are a million miles off the word. They want to show something in the flesh. Organizations about that same junk. That's why the left hand must never know what the right hand is doing. Do-gooders are not worth a plug nickel. Never mind your do-good. Be in His righteousness. They came to Jesus one day and said, oh, good master. He said, what are you trying to do, make me God? Only God's good. Well, make up your mind. Which way are you going? Well, you're nice to people. You did good. Didn't do any good to do good. He turned his vindication down. You understand what I'm saying now? Now, that which comes out of this word, I've told you time and time again, Brother Branham said the conduit of the word of the Holy Ghost was the word. Right? Then if we're going to have the Holy Ghost in us, we better have the Word to have that conduit. Then what comes out of that Word with a pure conscience, that'll be the good that God wants to see. You won't be a philanthropist. You won't be a do-gooder. You'll be a stalwart Christian here with the Word. Defending the Word, as Paul said, I stand to defend the Word. I'm not a heretic. That's why the Bible said, don't let your good evil be spoken of. What about the day of judgment? God Himself says, you did all this in my name, and I backed it up, but get out of here. Now, where's your good? Makes you think, doesn't it? Makes you think it's either God in you, willing and doing, and He can only do according to His Word. No, these philanthropists and all these guys out here in government, forget them. Learn to stand on our own two feet. Look the world in the eye. Sweat of our brow, whatever it takes. Stand right there. Be honest, courageous people. That's why Brother Branham liked the Psalm of Life so well. Not like dumb driven cattle waiting for some handout or something. Stand up like a man. Took me years to stand up and believe God. If I die in a ditch now, it'll be His glory, I trust. Yes, sir, there's a big difference, brother, sister. What a terrible difference. All right. Now listen, what he says over here, what I've read in Acts 2 and Acts 3, parallels exactly Matthew 24. Because in that day there's going to be false prophets showing signs and wonders and completely off the word. Anointed to the miracles, but 100% off the word, which is Pentecost, which is chaff. Now remember, when the stone hits the feet made with clay, it scatters like chaff. That's what the Bible teaches. When he comes down here in his presence, his fan is in his hand judging, the chaff is scattered. What's the chaff? Pentecostal. Oh, that makes you think that, oh, Brother Branham just made a mistake. Didn't he make a mistake? Then he made a mistake when he said you're a nice guy, too, instead of you're born again. Brother Branham made a mistake. Everyone he ever talked to around here said something. He called chaff chaff. I'm not against Pentecostal heads. I'm against what they stand for, which is an anointing which is true, but a word which is false, which deceives the whole world. Until their tongues evidence it to the place where the Pope can be worshipped. And it's okay. And the Virgin Mary talked to it. It's okay because they speak in tongues. Now they're trapped. Where are they going to go? Where did I go? I left it locked, stock, and barrel. Years ago, couldn't understand until the prophet came. All right. We don't have much time. What time is it? How much time you got left? About 20? I need 2 hours. Forget it. I want to read to you when I get back. I want to read to you continuously for about 20, 25 minutes, maybe 20 minutes. Then I want to go over with a pine cone. Because you can read into this whatever you want to read into it. I don't want to read anything. I just want to read what it says and look at both sides, various sides people talk about it. Let us sit there. Because I refuse to deal with anything I cannot put my hand identical to the Scripture for this hour that it repeats. There are those who try to make Brother Branham coming back, which he's going to come back. When they trial you, they've got it all figured out what he's going to do when he comes back. I say, hold it right there. Tell me what he's going to do. He can't do it. They start guessing and messing around. I've got nothing against the believing he's coming back. I don't care how he comes back, when he comes back, where he comes back, and what he does, because he's going to come back. But I absolutely resent anybody trying to show me from his message things that he said and put a private interpretation upon it when it can't be done. You've got to leave it just where he left it with the Scripture. And he begins comparing himself to Elijah, going to the wilderness, and these various things. We'll just read it. We'll look at it. We'll leave it sit where it is. But I'm not going to tell you something I don't know. I won't guess because I can't guess. I can hypothesize to a point and say, it could be this, it could be this, it could be this. I don't know. Why don't we just forget the whole thing and leave it up to God? Because when he said those seven seals were open, those seven thunders thundered, we had everything to put us into the rapture. That's enough. Because that means he'll be back. And if we're one with him, we'll see him. And whatever he needs to do for us, he'll do it. We're going to make it. That's all I need to know, and that's all you need to know as far as I'm concerned. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your goodness to us, your kindness, Lord. As your own Scripture says, which was in Christ Jesus our Lord and fully manifested by vindication. And we know, Lord God in heaven, that much of the time this has devolved into an argument, has devolved into a thesis, devolved into a premise. So many things, Lord, seem to be up in the air, but there's one thing we cannot get away from, and that was there was a man here who came in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you backed him up. And that's where we stand, Father, with that vindication, which is absolutely the basis of perfect faith, as it was with him, as it was with Moses, as it was with Paul, as it was with every prophet. They didn't fear. Elijah didn't give a care which way it went. He knew he'd go right down there to the king and stand right before him. He didn't care. He tackled the White House, as Brother Branham said. It didn't matter to him. He stood right there because he knew by vindication exactly who you were and who he was in that relationship. And Father, we've got the same privilege this morning. And I know I don't do justice. I don't know anybody would do justice. Only William Branham could do justice. But Father, we believe that prophet was vindicated, absolutely vindicated, infallible in this word. And we're standing on it. We're standing on it because we wouldn't know where else to stand. On Christ, the solid, vindicated rock word, Rhema Logos, we stand this morning, Lord. With as much as we know within us and trying to get our minds wrapped right around your word and intertwined with your word until our minds and your word are one. And then that life in that word coming forth, doing what it should do in this hour, we appreciate it, O God. Lord, bless everyone in divine presence. There may be sick ones amongst us, someone coming down with flu like some of our brethren. A lot of folk couldn't be here, Lord. At least several couldn't be here. We know they would be here otherwise. We pray that you'll heal them right home, give them a real touch upon their bodies. And those here standing here may be a little miserable in some way. Pray, God, you'll touch them right this morning, Lord, because we're standing with your word. You're risen amongst us. You haven't changed one iota. You, by the prophet, you showed you were that living one amongst us, doing the same things you did back there. Absolutely. No difference whatsoever. Absolutely that same one. We believe it. You spoke, Lord. You're speaking today in your word, but the word that the prophet left. You're speaking to our hearts. So help us, O God, that we might be those that can be spoken to, those who listen, those who hear, understand within the capabilities you've granted to the in the various positions in the bride of Jesus Christ, but each one going forth with victory in the soul, knowing positively that this is a vindicated word, and we are the true Protestants who protest the religion that has come all together where the harlot and her daughters are all one now. There's no use talking about a multitude. Crowned with names of blasphemy, right upon the crown. The old harlot got them all back. The beast controlling everything. We know that's the truth because your word said so. But, Father, we're outside of it. And we stand, Lord, in your strength. We plead nothing of ourselves except, Lord, that we believe you're your children and you're helping us in the hour. We commend ourselves unreservedly. Everyone, bless them, we pray, and every family represented. Unto you we give the honor and glory in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.